The Watch is the latest and the greatest in pop culture from best friends Chris Ryan and Andy Greenwald. Join them as they discuss TV, movies, music, and much more. Check out The Watch on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Priceline. When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place, whether it's the beach, ski slopes, couples getaway, or even a visit to that best friend you haven't seen in way too long. And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price so you never have to miss a trip. For me, my happy place is in the Mediterranean. I think I've mentioned that. Maybe it's why I like Love Island so much, because they're right by the Mediterranean. But I just love the feeling of being in the sea, and it's just a great sea. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group. When one person from the squad travels, everyone gets more deals. And you even get to choose your crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. It could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save. And for me, I'd love to go on a trip to the Mediterranean with friends. In fact, I might be doing that in the near future. I have done it before, and it was really some of the most fun I've ever had. I went to Sicily. We had some great swimming there, me and my friends. Anyway, if you want to have a similar experience, download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy price with Priceline. This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right, it's official. I think I've discovered the ultimate coupling of all time. Like any good relationship, they really balance each other out. One is super sweet, and the other, well, they can be a little nutty sometimes. It is, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. So perfect, some would call it true love. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Did you read, like, whatever article?
Yeah, and it was, like, Us Weekly first. Got a lot of followers, so you're welcome. Well, I did, too. Like, almost 10,000.
That's insane that you got 10,000 followers.
I remember when I hit 70? I was like, oh, I hit 70, whatever. I had, like, 78-something when I left.
The best part is, like, the amount of times your name is going to be brought up before you're on the show.
That's what Serena was saying. She was like, you're literally going to get more screen time before you step foot on the sand.
Literally, people are, like, coming for my whole existence, and you're, like, stressing about Instagram.
Bachelor Party. I'm Juliette Littman. This is definitely a historic episode in the history of Bachelor Nation. I'm so excited to discuss it. And to do so, I'm joined by Jared Fried. Hi, Jared.
Hello, Juliette. It is such a pleasure to be here with you on such a historic occasion. I think we'll be talking about this episode for a long time, I think.
Oh, absolutely. For so many reasons. I mean, obviously, like, we'll come back to Kendall. Who the F cares? We just got to get into this Brendan stuff. I mean, it's so wild. I even went so far as to write down several of his quotes because I was so appalled at the things he was saying. And I usually play it fast and loose with quoting, but we just couldn't do that this time. Have to, like, be truthful to his word, which is not what he did with Natasha. I mean, I'm blown away. I just can't believe this. Where did you stand on Brendan before this episode?
So I kind of thought of Brendan as a quiet Boston good-looking idiot. And that kind of stays true to form, but it is there, like, you've been on my podcast. I do a lot of dating talk.
Yes, that's why I'm glad you're here.
This is such a juicy a metaphor for what people are going through in the dating world now, the internet dating culture, the culture of hold on to one until I get another. You know, like, it was so unbelievably relatable that I was like, this is Shakespeare, actually. This is, you know, Serano. You know, like, I thought about it in terms of, like, you know, The Ringer, okay?
Sure.
And you know those, like, probability maps during, like, basketball, football,
yeah, like,
games.
Like win probability?
Yes. I was like, the chances of Natasha being right went from, like, 50% to, like, 100% at the last possible second. Like, it was like, because in the beginning I was like, I can understand how Brendan kind of was just casual and maybe him and Piper had, you know, kind of been together a couple times, but not on dates. Like, right. That's kind of how it started. Right. And I was like, I understand. Like, I'm, I, you know, as a guy, I'm like, oh, here come the ladies with their hypocrisy. And then I'm like, and then I'm like, and that's my, you know, preconceived idiocy myself.
Sure. Yes.
And listen, this happens. Not to say it doesn't happen, but Natasha
it happens. But you're not all then usually in a secluded environment on a beach in Mexico with no phones, with, you know, no ability to like leave. Like, this is the extreme nightmare. I have like so
with
much
audio.
To say.
Yeah, the audio, just, like him scrambling the audio and starting to interrupt. Like, even at the end, Natasha's dressed as Dick Tracy. She has the Dick Tracy hat on. She's literally uncovering. I want to know who you think is most at fault, but go ahead. I want to hear what you have to say. I'm sorry to keep
no,
going.
I mean, it's just so much to parse. You guys can't see, but I'm like doing the ultimate facepalm right now because I just feel so bad for Natasha and I feel so angry at Brendan, who I used to really like. I think Piper is an accessory to a crime, but I think that...
Oh my God. We're going to have to talk about this.
Oh, wow. I think
Piper's the, and again, I just said I have preconceived idiocy. You know, I don't mean as the guy, I just think Brendan's an idiot. Like, he said so many stupid things.
Jared, come on. Piper, he's so much more than an idiot.
But way at the end, Piper and him are talking and Piper's like, she knew the plan the whole time. I thought she was Kaiser Soze. Like, I was like, I was like, because I don't, the human element of like, you just don't see it often where a woman's like, yeah, we're not together. You go, who would come on here with the strings attached? And then she's like, but you waited for me the whole time. I don't know. I think there's like a poll to be had here. I don't know.
Okay. Well,
but
I think it's
interesting.
Well, yeah. Let's come back to Piper. We need to talk about fucking Brendan. I'm so upset. I feel heartbroken because I was such a Brendan fan. I was on the Brendan train. I was like, Brendan's playing this right. We can all tell that he's waiting for Piper. He seems like kind of into Natasha, but not really. Like, he clearly like doesn't mind spending that much time with her, but I didn't think it seemed like he was in love with her. It just seemed like he was like having a paradise fling with her. And I was like, that's fine, because that's like, sometimes that's just what happens. Not all relationships end up serious, like whatever. I didn't think he was doing anything that wrong.
And also, to, you know, that's to Natasha's credit. Like, she's definitely one of the people on the beach that I'm like, that's who I'd want to hang out with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, she's definitely, like, she gives off cool vibes. She gets it. Like, even all the way to the end, she's, like, asking every question the audience would want her to ask. And that's why we understand she's a cool person. She's likable. So we could understand, like, hanging with Natasha.
Totally. Totally. And Natasha, we'll come back to her to totally break down her side of things. But I just want to say Natasha maintained her composure in talking to Brendan in such spectacular fashion. I was blown away, because if I were her in her situation, I would like shut down and cry. And I am so impressed at how much she was able to get out and to like lay out what happened, so we, the viewer, understand how much Brendan lied, which brings me back to Brendan.
She's a detective. She was a great detective. It was unbelievable. You're totally right. Totally agree with how it was like, she should be hired by the FBI. That was just, unbelievable, because
the real masterstroke was the sit down with Piper and getting all the info from Piper, and not in an accusatory way, but just sort of like fact finding, wanting to catch up, wanting to understand. They clearly had a relationship before the show. Like, when Piper came in, they were like, good to see you.
The 10 versus 2.
10 versus 2.
She got him. Book him, Dano.
He fucked up so hard when he admitted that Piper came to Boston. Like, that is like, okay, so she traveled to see you. That was
That was the big, like, lock him up. But that's why I kind of like, see, Brendan said such hateable things.
Okay.
Things. Yeah, please.
I need to interrupt you. I just need to say that the worst fucking thing that Brendan did, in my opinion, I mean, lying is really bad, but the thing that makes me hate him is his insinuation, like, that he said laughing when Natasha was out of the frame, that no one else was interested in her and she wouldn't have had any connections if it weren't for him keeping her there. And I will never forgive Brendan for that. It was so fucked up. Like, Brendan, go F yourself. That is cruel and callous and like, get all like, yes, you're extremely hot, but like, it's not just you, Brendan. Like, fuck you. That made me so mad, Jared. I can't even tell you.
It was the most hateable thing I've really ever seen on this show.
Like, yeah, outside of racism.
Yeah, I mean, I was outside of, you know, the things that we
but like,
go crazy about. But I'm saying, but like,
relationship wise,
for you to say, well, there was no one else here. Like, who are you to choose? Who are you to, what are you, you know, what are you, the watcher in the Marvel, you know, show? That's such a deep, like, who are you to decide who has interest in who? It was so crazy to me. But that was kind of why I thought Piper was the puppet master, because it felt like Brendan was trying to convince us that he's not a bad guy.
Don't blame Piper for Brendan being a dick. Like, come on, man. This is ridiculous. No,
I'm not trying to blame her. I'm more trying to say, like, why would someone say something so inhuman? Like,
he's an asshole.
I know. I'm trying to look for, I guess you're right. I don't know. Like, the way he said it, the way it came about, I was like, it sounded like to me, he was the heavy. He's the face of the operation. Like, I don't know. When they were discussing the Instagram stuff and when she was talking about Us Weekly and talking about you're going to get more screen time before you got here than after you got here, like, that was stuff that I was like, oh, this was really plotted.
Yeah, really plotted. That had shocked me. I had heard about this before the season, I'm going to be honest. I had heard that there was some Natasha Piper Brendan drama brewing. Didn't want the details because it makes it very hard to watch and recap the show in good faith, but I had heard that this was going to be bad for Brendan. This is so much worse for Brendan than I possibly could have imagined. I really thought that Brendan could be the Bachelor at some point if this didn't work out, but like, absolutely not. Now there is no way it's just like, absolutely not. Plus, if you're production, like, Piper and Brendan, like, kind of fuck things up. I mean, it's great drama and there's like a lot of storyline, so it's fine. But, you know, Piper was like, the conversation she had with Brendan at dinner on that like weird day where I don't even think they put food on the table this time. They were just like, fuck it. It's fine. Just a lot of cups and goblets. No big deal.
Yeah. Just talk in the rain.
She was like, he was saying, like, you know, coming to paradise with a girlfriend. And then he's kind of like fumbling for words and she finishes his sentence. She's like, not a good look. And that is so, like, beside the point. It's also, like, it breaks the mechanics of the show. Like, if you are dating someone and you're just, like, waiting for them to show up, it breaks the mechanics of the show. But, you know, he just turned into psychopath mode. At one point, Jared, he says, when Piper first comes in, he says to Natasha, obviously didn't know this was going to happen. It's a coincidence, I suppose. There was a brief paraphrase, but he said all those words.
Okay.
He said, I suppose, a few times. So next time Brendan's lying, watch out for him to say, I suppose. That's his tell.
To his future wife.
Yeah, seriously. I suppose. He also just sort of like turned into a character from The Departed. I just feel like his accent changed and he turned into like weird Boston guy who's like got. It was so weird.
That's why I... Listen, he's obviously despicable in this whole thing, but like the way it kind of happened, that heat just, map that I'm talking.
We just need to say you're a Boston guy too. Just want to say you're a Boston guy too, so you can hate on Boston guys.
I, of course, and I've met this guy. That's why I'm calling him like a bumbling idiot. Like, he's the muscle. He's not going to be the talker.
He's
not the one playing. No, I've met him. I've met versions of him. Do you know what I mean? Like, I.
Sorry,
he's not the one doing. He's not doing the planning in this. That's why I was like, I agree with you. I'm letting him off the hook even too much. But I just think when I saw that dinner, at the dinner, I thought, oh, he was casual with her. And then he's casual with Natasha. Then they get back from the dinner and I'm going, and he starts saying all that stuff about how, you know, she wasn't going to connect with anyone anyways. And you're like, why are you saying stuff like that? And then he goes, sits in the day bed with Piper and they're like giggling about an Us Weekly. I just was like, she had to have been more in on this than I thought at that dinner. It got more revealed to me over time. That's how I felt.
Totally. I really want to dig into the ramifications of everyone on the beach talking about their Instagram followings and clout and like what that means going forward. But before
because I have some thoughts on that too. Yeah. Okay.
It's a pretty big deal. This is kind of an interesting progression from how Katie's season ended with basically like after the final rose acknowledging Reddit. Like, this is interesting. But I just want to read a few more Brendan quotes first.
Please.
He also was like, pretended he was from Philly for 5 minutes and was like, with respect to the process of getting to know Piper more, like, he's not going to accept any dates. I'm just like, respect to the process? Like, you, like, is the process having sex? Like, what is the process he's referring to? Like, he's such an idiot. And then at one point, he also was like, you know, I told you, in like this very verbose explanation he gives, that like he wasn't into her, but like wanted to give her a rose to give her a chance to find love. And Natasha says to him that he didn't actually say that. And he's like, you're right, I didn't. And it's like, what the fuck? You just admitted that you're lying right now. And he even then, about the 2 times versus 10 times thing, he said, I don't recall saying twice, like, you know, taking a page from the Clinton affair. So I'm just like, this dude is such a dick and a lying cheater. And he didn't cheat, though, because that's to your point. Him and Piper were obviously in on this together. They're like great con people, con men and women. But like,
They're Bonnie and Clyde.
He lied to Natasha so much. And as a woman, I feel for her so hard. This is like the worst nightmare, like several terrible scenarios coming together. Being friend zoned and like kind of being confused about it. Being lied to over and over again. And then the guy saying that you have selective hearing. Having a play out on national television, being friends with and having to confront the other woman. Like, there's just so many aspects of this that suck for Natasha. And I just feel for her so, so, so hard. And I don't know, it just like, really blows.
There's very few, in my opinion, with dating stuff. There's always something that you can say to the person. Like when we give dating advice in the podcast, when I talk about dating, it's like, listen, I can only speak to the person asking for the advice.
Right.
You know, like, and sometimes that takes like throwing a dickhead to the wind to be like, I can't deal with them right now, but I can tell you 7 things that I would have seen or that to look out for the next time or to trust in yourself a little more. To me, there's nothing Natasha could have done because these people were straight up lying. And I don't think that happens as much as people want to believe, is that someone's like 100% lying to you. I think in a lot of dating scenarios, a lot of people think they're doing confused. The right thing. They're confused. They're trying to get the best thing for themselves. In this, I don't see that. This is two people, and I don't know what the split is between Brendan and Piper, but they're both in on it.
Yeah.
But this is two people who totally took you to go and rob some Instagram followers. Like, you know, like, didn't that feel like that? Like, it was like,
yeah.
And it was for the grossest thing. It wasn't even for their love. Because everyone's like, why would they come? Why would they come? Yeah, because they want to be, they were talking about their relationship in the papers. And they're like, well, we're not like necessarily looking to have like our relationship be a blog. And it's like, what? Like, what? That's even in your thought process?
Also, they just didn't make any sense. Their plan didn't make any sense because at one point, I mean, Piper's talking to the camera as if it's like her friend and she's just being like really open and honest. I thought that was really weird. I kind of appreciated it because this episode also had so much funky editing. Like, the timelines were super fucked up. Like, it seemed, I think that Piper and Kendall came in on the same day because Kendall is wearing the same outfit. And so is Joe when Piper walks in.
This is stuff I never noticed. People notice this and I never, like, this is stuff that it's my blind spot with the show because I know people catch this all the time and I never catch this stuff.
I don't think it's like a lie from the show. Like, they edit the show in a way to create a narrative, right?
Sure.
But it's fine. But I just, like, this show in particular is confusing because they'll refer to like a week ago or 2 weeks ago. And it's like actually a few days because production is so short, but they try to do it like they try to get them to talk by episode basically or like by rose ceremony. But I found this particularly confusing because it was just sort of like, I think a lot matters based on like what Natasha found out and when, and like when Brendan said different things or whatever. So I think that's like kind of more relevant than usual. And just in general, I felt like there was a lot of funky editing, probably because a lot of crazy shit was said. Because, like, the way they would kept changing camera angles in the dinner scene between... I'm talking like this is actual theater. In the dinner scene between Piper and Brendan.
This was Shakespeare. Cyrano. This was there was something
it's,
here.
It's Cyrano de Bergerac, just so you know.
Sorry. And I said it with a... I'm one of those idiots from Boston. I still am one of those idiots. So. I told you I know guys like Brendan. I'm not going to know Cyrano de Bergerac. De Bergeron. Tom de Bergeron.
Tom de Bergeron, the deposed host of Dancing with the Stars. Anyway, that scene had a lot of weird editing where they were like changing camera angles. And like there was one point when Piper, right before Piper says, like, you're really downplaying what we had, Brendan like moves in to like get closer to her because she's upset. That whole scene was crazy, but you could just tell there was like weird editing going on there based on like his positioning and like when they showed her face talking, when they didn't. But that conversation was crazy also because it wasn't that long and we didn't hear Piper talk that much. And like Brendan said a lot of words, but I don't know how they got from her being like, you downplayed our relationship, to her at the end being like, I'm fine, I'm good, we're good, let's keep going. Like, what did we miss? What did he say to make it better?
Well, that was the confuse. I'm totally with you. It was confusing because it seemed to get like tied with a bow at the end of that date. And it felt like they were agreeing on talking points by the end.
Yeah.
Because she goes, okay, of course. Yeah. Yeah. Like she was like, and I was like, oh, she's going for this. Like, and then I keep thinking of like my emotional, like who I was like kind of believing as this went on. And like, at that date point, I'm going, I guess I believe Brendan, that it wasn't that crazy, that they had just hooked up. And then you get to the end of that and you go, wait, are they in on this? And then, I don't know, that daybed scene, I mean, was just wild. Like
Wild. We'll get into it. But I just want to note one thing that I think is really interesting in this season of Paradise, which is I feel like it reminds me of camp more than ever, where like, mm-hmm. The bases really matter. Like, what extent you hooked up really, really matters.
Yeah, I thought about that. I was like, I mean, I don't want to be crass, but I was like, did they bang and that was it? Or did they go on dates? And then like, you know, like did they hang out in a group setting?
And depending on who you are, one or the other matters more. It's not like everything, not like everyone matters more. Like some people, like sex is not that meaningful for them, but like a deep connection on a date like means a lot more. And then of course there's vice versa. But like, it's interesting seeing this play out because they don't usually talk about it this way. But even Demi, we see in the scene for next week, she was like, so you had sex with me? And like, I think there's a lot of euphemisms for the, you know, like talking to you and like what going to the boom boom room. But it just reminds me like, at my camp, people used to like come back to the bunk after rock time, which was make out time in the woods, and like report what base they went to. And it was like second base over the shirt or like whatever. And it just really reminds me of that. That was like the bases. Well, they're back, baby.
That's it's funny because that's an actual issue in the dating world, is this issue of definitions. We're all using the same words, but they're all defined differently to all of us. So it's like hooking up could mean kissing to sex. And then like ghosting ghosting can mean we went on one date and he never called again, to we had sex and they never called again. You know what I mean?
Or, or we, you know, we had sex five times and he vanished or whatever. Like there's so many gradations.
So many gradations. And then casual is the biggest. We're just hanging out. We're just casual is the biggest variation, because to some people, casual means you have to, like, we talk to each other, you make a date. To other people, casual is like, I text you at 3 a.m. and that's it. So we don't know where Brendan and Piper stand on that even to the end. That's why it was so confusing.
Right. And then another thing that Brendan said that could be really hurtful to Piper, and I think also to Natasha, because it just sort of makes both of them question like how he values them, is he says to Natasha, like, you and I have had deeper conversations than she and I have. And it's like, is that because you don't want to have like an emotional connection with the person you're having sex with? Is that because you get to like that emotional level with a woman you're dating slower and it's easier for you to deal with a friend because like there's less at stake? Like there's so many questions. It's just like, Brendan is so fucked up and he's just fucking things up.
Or is that easier because you're business partners? You know, I mean, legitimately, they're, I mean, like, they are accomplices.
Yeah.
So they, and this happens in dating all the time when someone's going to be moving. Like, if someone's like, I'm moving at the end of the summer, then there's this like weird agreement of like, none of this matters until the end of the summer and we're not going to be together anyways. So if like Brendan and Piper are in this relationship that's kind of built on, you're going to paradise, I'm going to paradise. Well, obviously we're not going to be in a relationship, but let's hang out and kind of plot and have fun plotting what we're going to do when we get to paradise so that we get Instagram followers. Like, that becomes the relationship and that's not very depthy. You know what I mean?
Right. I think that they, I don't know for sure, but I was looking at their Instagrams this morning and,
so are they, I promise you.
This will have expired by the time the listener hears this podcast, but I will just say they both posted stories of like a rocky coast and they look different. Like on the surface, you're like that, whatever, this could be anywhere. But I was like, what are the chances that they both posted like a rocky coast from a different like vantage point on the same day? Like they're definitely like on vacation together right now. So
totally, yeah,
I don't know. It's rough, but
they're cheersing like they're cheersing champagne like at the end of Trading Places on the beach.
Yeah, it's just, oh my God, it's also like just so, it's so weird. Anyway, let's talk about the daybed conversation where they talk about their clout.
Sure.
So the last 10 minutes of this episode are dedicated to clout chasing. And
yes,
and literally everyone's talking about it. And something like really remarkable happens, which is Natasha asks Brendan directly, like, are you here for the television show? Natasha in her sit down interview is like, and you've watched it all play out here on ABC.
Yeah. It was great.
And then we have the awesome peanut gallery of Deandra, Marissa, and Riley talking about clout chasing and if they're just here for, you know, to be on TV as well. I love the three of them and just like their commentary was gold. And they're also just sort of like not emotionally invested in it. So they're just like, you know, going with
Deandra's been great from minute one with all that stuff.
Totally. And Marissa seems like a really fun hang. She seems like one of the most fun people on the beach. Although she's taken a liking to Demi, which makes me question her judgment, but what can you do?
Demi has had her moments of likability actually for me this season, but she's, I like when she's vulnerable and actually talks about it, but
same.
Yeah. But it's far and few between.
Sure. I think next week when we, or tomorrow, whatever it is, when we get to the Boom Boom Room stuff with Demi and Kenny, there's a lot to parse there. It's tough because I feel for her, but it's also like, seems like she's using sex to like keep him interested. And it's sad.
It's by her own creation a little bit. Like in the same vein of like, you know, Natasha, like, is she, you know, Natasha didn't create any of this. Demi seems to create some of her own drama.
Yeah, she, and when she felt him slipping away, she whispered to him, like, do you want to go to the Boom Boom Room right now? To like, and that was just really sad, but
it was brutal. And for whatever reason, I don't know how fair this is, but anytime a guy like Kenny says no to sex, you're like, oh, okay, man.
Yeah.
Oh, a 40-year-old guy with star tattoos on his obliques said no to you?
Yeah,
like,
seriously.
You know, it's almost like, sadder.
Yeah, or it's like someone you've already hooked up with, like texting them at like literally like the U up at 12:30 and they respond. Yeah. And they're like, no. It's like, it's just sort of like, it really hurts. It hurts.
Yeah. And for whatever reason, like, I know this to some people, this doesn't matter, but like it being a guy and guys are like supposedly out there just looking for sex all the time. Yeah. And you're the person he says no to, like,
but
it's just not fun.
Guys like Kenny, who I assume have had a lot of sex and are a little bit older, I think have better judgment and like saying no sometimes. Like, they've learned the lesson in a certain way. And also because having sex is not really an issue for him, he doesn't like,
yeah,
say, well, yes,
that's the whole crux of his storyline. That's why Mari got kind of like thrown for a loop, because Kenny is a professional, like, woodsman, coxman type, you know, like he's been doing this for 20 years, you know, so.
Right. Like, at least
to any woman out there, this should be, to any woman out there, the real takeaway is beware the 40-year-old with abs. Like, it is not going to work out well.
It's so true. It's so true.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
All right, it's official. I think I've discovered the ultimate coupling of all time. Like any good relationship, they really balance each other out. One is super sweet, and the other, well, they can be a little nutty sometimes. It is, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. So perfect, some would call it true love. Find Reese's now at a store near you. This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. eBay knows that when it comes to jewelry, authenticity is the real gem. When you see the blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, it means your next piece will be carefully inspired by jewelry experts and will always be worth its weight in gold. Whether you're looking to make a statement or build the perfect everyday look, eBay is making sure you get the real deal. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that jaw-dropping piece will always arrive jaw-droppingly real. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Anyway, back to the clout chasing. So
yeah, the clout chasing.
Piper and Brendan are lying on a daybed. And I think that it reminded me of the movie Heartbreakers, which you probably haven't seen because no one's really seen this movie. But Sigourney Weaver and Jennifer Love Hewitt and Gene Hackman and Jennifer Love.
Familiar, and never saw
Jason
it.
Lee. Yeah, it's actually really good. Sigourney Weaver sings the Beatles' USSR song in a Russian accent. Anyway, just love a rom-com, fun. Jared. What can I do? Anyway, they are lying on this daybed. And this is also like what really indicted Brendan to me, because he's just like giggling. He's having fun. They're talking about their plan. And as you said, they referenced the Us Weekly article that was about them. That was like May 12th-ish. I went back and looked that up recently. Piper references their conversation when she hit 70,000 followers and like how excited she was at the time. And now she's at 78. I checked. She's over. I bet by the time this airs, she'll be closer to 90. And also, the thing that I also found really interesting was that she says that she talked to Serena about how her name is on the show so much. And so it's like, everyone's actually talking about this. Everyone is talking about the impact of the show on their following and like what it means for their their incomes and livelihoods going forward.
That made me think, like, how much like did Serena know? Like, Serena was there the whole time.
Yeah.
And the minute Piper gets there, she's like, the first person to run up to Piper is Serena. So like,
so happy to see her. Yeah.
So happy to see her. So that made me think, I was like, you know, Serena hasn't been really the most likable person on this show since it started to me. Like, she hasn't really, to me, she's been very young and immature and very like, she very much feels like the woman who's just like you trying to date. And she's like, I'm just trying to have fun. We've been calling him Mopey Joe, just like Sad Joe. Like, I see him going down kind of hard with her. And it was just like interesting, like that whole, but that was like, I was like, where's Serena's fault in this?
It's a good point, because she must have had some insight. Also, those women are all close. Abigail, Serena, Piper, Chelsea, who's coming, Serena C. Also, that's the other thing. Serena C and Piper are roommates, and Serena C got the axe very early, so she could give Piper some insight into what was happening, because like she did get her phone.
You mean
back.
Natasha?
Sorry, no, Piper.
Oh, Serena. Piper. Oh, like word like, from the inside.
Yeah, like in between Serena C leaving and Piper coming.
Oh,
I actually don't know how the phone rules work. I don't know if Serena could talk to her, but I think that she could. I don't know for sure, but so Piper, it seemed like the women of Matt season are pretty close. And so it seemed likely that Serena knew stuff. And that's a good point. Like, she could have been more forthcoming about like what she knew between Piper and Brendan.
Totally. And well, so I was like, how good is she being to Natasha? But at the same time, like, do you think that desperation since Matt's season has been higher?
What do you mean? From the women?
From everyone.
Oh.
Not just the women. This is, I'm saying,
for fame or what?
The fame, the clout chasing. Do you think that there's like a pandemic thing that works into this?
That's
where all these people on the show are just like, I think everyone's a little more desperate, not just Bachelor contestants.
Like,
I think
people,
like the world is more desperate than it was 2 years ago. And do you think that, like, and again, the Bachelor is always a metaphor for life, but like, do you think that there's like the clout chasing is just more out there because there's just people are more okay with that type of desperation?
So there's a big source of income that you can speak to that I think many people are missing out on, which is like touring businesses. And so for reality people, a big part of it used to be paid appearances at bars, universities, Revolve vacations, things like that. I mean, you're back on the road, as anyone who follows your Instagram knows, but like a lot,
yes.
I don't think that like paid bar appearances for reality stars are like really back. So I do think there's like a income question here.
Yeah, I would assume that that's the last thing to come back in the pandemic is the Bachelor contestant.
Like Jacksonville, Florida appearance or like showing up at like an FSU bar or whatever, or like going to Lake Havasu for spring break. Like, I think that's going to take a while to come back still.
Yeah, Robbie isn't hanging out at a bar and, you know, the whatever his name is, he's going to go on a TV show instead.
Well, now he's having a legal battle with Jeff Holm, but you probably didn't see.
Oh, I didn't
watch that season. That's the one. It was a good one, though. I love Jeff with one F. I don't know why. He was like, it's because he was a hipster on The Bachelorette before hipsters had infiltrated the show. So it was sort of like,
interesting.
He was wearing skinny jeans. He, at the time, I called it the David Beckham, his haircut. It was a different, it was just a different era. A simpler time. but I think what's really interesting with this clout chasing stuff is, first of all, there's a few things. One, Brendan and Piper, like, do they think that their mics were off? Like, they clearly knew they were on. Brendan like fucks with it. So like, why are they talking about Instagram and their followers and like their plan? Like, were they, how drunk were they? Like, that's like, I gotta assume they were drunk, right?
Well, I have to, something was up when he started playing with it.
He did it two times. The first time he did that was the first time he insulted Natasha saying that no one else is interested in her. Like, fuck you, Brendan. I will not forget that. Fuck you.
That was awful. And he's playing with it. And I was imagining them in the booth just being like, yeah, we got you still. Like the producers being like, yeah, you think you're smarter than us?
We can hear
God
Brendan,
here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so I think like you and I, before the summer, we did an episode of changes for The Bachelor and Bachelorette. And I got lots of good feedback. People really loved that episode of this podcast. But this, in this moment on the daybed, I was like, they need a Jeff Probst.
Yeah.
This show needs to get changed. They need like this to turn into a little bit of Maury. We need people voted off the island a little bit.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I'm hoping next episode we get a confrontation of some kind, because there needs to be some kind of like, I mean, and it's not on Natasha to do it because she's confronted everyone. Like, shout out to Natasha.
She's done her job.
Class and grace. Just absolutely amazing. But so there needs to be some kind of like, what do you guys think you're doing? And it seems like James has that bite where he says like, you think you all like tricked us or something or whatever he says. Mm. I was so focused on Brendan's quotes, I didn't have space in my mind for James. But there does need to be some kind of like adjudication. But this came up with Katie's season when she was basically like addressing Reddit after the final rose, that in like that really horrible, awkward, bizarre finale, which is like one thing I liked about this episode, and Mallory Rubin, my colleague, made this point, was like the show does need to evolve to have a way to incorporate like Bachelor Nation into The Bachelor. And so that was like a really interesting twist about this episode in kind of like a meta sense. And like, it's awful that Natasha is sort of the fulcrum for which this like landmark episode happened, but it is like a really big deal for the show because it was successful. Like, they successfully allowed Us Weekly to be mentioned and Instagram to be mentioned without actually hurting the product, whereas I felt like with Katie's season, it was like a really bizarre niche conversation that she was like acting out. But this was like a lot more universally, I think, understandable to the audience, even if they're not following closely.
We're all going through this. When do you become Instagram official? When do you post people?
Yeah.
The connection of like people seeing things on your stories. Why aren't I on your stories? It's interesting that you mentioned Mallory bringing up like it needs to be brought in. They're not. this show isn't the one to do it. Like, we need a new show because The Bachelor is a cash cow. They don't change the show because they're afraid of losing money. They need a host more than they've ever needed a host. And it needs to be like a guy like Wells, who's done an adequate job of doing the things he's done, but they've only allowed him to do so much. Like, Lance Bass isn't going to come on this show and go, "So what's going on with your Instagram?" He doesn't need that in his life. You need someone who wants to get into the weeds of these things, and they need to create games around it. They need to create some sort of...
You need a tribal council, is what you're saying. What you're asking for right now.
There needs to be a tribal council on the show. And I'm new to Bachelor in Paradise, so like, I'm enjoying this. I thought this episode was fantastic. I told you, Shakespeare. It was really good. Even the other stuff we're not talking about was pretty good too. But the idea that we all don't sit around and someone has the baton where they're allowed to speak and they go, I'm going to give it to Natasha. I'm going to give it to Brendan. I'm going to give it to Piper, and ask them pointed questions, because that's what we all want. We need a Bachelor Nation rep.
That happens on The Challenge too, where like they have to confront each other like as a group. Yeah. And it is a really successful like narrative technique, because you make friends confront each other. And then like when the alliances break down, and like also that would be a forum in which someone could be like, "Serena, what did you know? Like, Serena, why didn't you tell us?" or whatever.
Yes.
And The Challenge has successfully incorporated the grudges that people hold season to season and like what happens outside of the show. And I do think that would be good for Bachelor and Paradise a little bit. But like the funny thing is Paradise... This also happened with The Challenge in Real World. Like, Paradise is becoming like a different beast and a way more fun show. And so It's almost like, and the funny thing this week, I keep saying the funny thing, it's not funny, but I did notice that the women of Ari's season like really, really gravitated to each other. Kendall, Becca, and Tia were like hanging out. And I was like, oh, right. Yeah. They were three of four. The only one missing is Lauren. Like, that was his top four. And I love Tia, by the way. She's like so funny. The China pot, all of her euphemisms for vagina, and then just saying labia, labia, labia was so funny.
Tia was great. Tia was great. It was funny that Grocer Joe like knew her type.
He was afraid. He was afraid of her. He's like, she's wild. he was definitely afraid. But it's just like, this is so, it's so wild to see it play out. And I just wonder how much this will change how people talk about would Thomas be crucified again going forward for talking about being The Bachelor?
Yeah. I just wish the producers would enact some creativity to figure it out.
Yeah.
Because right now they're doing nothing. All they're doing is taping and watching and making sure they get the sound. But like, there are games to be played that would be very interesting. Like, if they played a game of musical chairs, like even that, and had everyone sit with someone right now, but no roses will be given out. Like,
so Bachelor Pad had games. You probably never watched that, but it's available.
No, I never watched it.
It's available on some streaming service. I can't remember which one. Maybe Disney Plus? No. Hulu? I don't know.
Come on.
It's available. It's all Disney shit. But Warner owns it. Anyway, Bachelor Pad had games. And Bachelor Pad had like more of this sort of element. Bachelor Pad was a lot more like Big Brother, basically, where it was like, we're always watching. You have to do crazy shit. But it was at the mansion, so that was kind of fun.
That's cool.
And so they need to introduce like an element of Bachelor Pad into Bachelor in Paradise, I think, is kind of what you're saying. And I don't disagree. Like, it's also Love Island has that too, where they have like challenges or whatever. And so I think that I think Love Island and like F-Boy Island, you know, wouldn't really exist without The Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise and Bachelor Pad. Like, they're obviously inspired by them, but like, now it's time to go the other way. Like, take a page from the books of those shows.
I totally agree. And it's like, it gets frustrating because you're like, this is, you know, Bachelor in Paradise, when you say like, this is way more relatable. Like, someone showing up is like every week is so relatable to swiping on a dating app. Like, the idea of like, you're seeing someone, then you get a match and you go, oh, but we're kind of doing something. But this person that
it's
I knew
funny
from
you
high
say
school
that,
is a match, you know?
I think that's why Becca went. Cause I was like, this is a dating app IRL for Becca. And it's probably hard for her to date because she's quasi famous. She's been hurt. She's sort of like doesn't really know like what her dating pool is. And this is like basically Becca going on a dating app. And I'm just like, I respect it. I think she should be above it, but I also respect it. And she also seems like a really good friend. I liked how she comforted Natasha. I thought that was very sweet.
Becca seems like a nice person. I agree. It does. For me, it felt a little bit like someone repeating senior year because they didn't pass the senior project. But
super senior.
Yeah, she's a super senior. So it's like, what are you going to do after college? I got one more year. I'm just hanging out. You know, like it has an element of that, but it's like, it definitely, I like her, you know, it's not her likability doesn't change, but
we all like Becca.
Yeah. But it is. I think that's a great point because it's like, why would she do this? Well, where else is she going to go?
And like, you know, whoever she picks or if she finds someone, maybe they won't be her next fiance, but it's like, got to get back out there. And what better way than to do it on Paradise?
Totally. What did you think? Speaking of getting back out there, to go back to the beginning of the episode, kind of like forgetting, what did you think of Kendall and Joe? Like, why does Kendall come on the show anyway? Did Kendall come on the show to get Joe back? Like, I didn't understand that.
Super confusing. I just wanted to say that since last week, I've been practicing in my head saying Joe's last name. I think I finally got it.
How do you say it?
Should I do it?
Yeah.
Amabile. I believe that's how you say it. I thought it was like Amabile, but I think it's Amabile. I've been practicing Amabile in my head over and over since Amabile. Joseph Anthony Amabile. Also a
Anthony.
Also a departed character.
Yeah. Joseph, who's walking around the beach like he's a retired boxer. Like he's just dressed in tattered rags.
Callie and I love the red Adidas sandals. Love. They're just so, but Kenny has them too. We're like, are they sponsored by Adidas?
Maybe.
What was Kendall's goal? I don't know. Maybe she had the summer open and she did think that like going back to Paradise with Joe would like help them get back together. I really felt for her and them in that situation because it's sort of like when you end something, when you break up or break off, if it's not a serious, that's what I like to call like the end of a fling as a break off. And it is sort of like sad that you're just sort of like, okay, so now you're out of my life. Can't know what's going on with you. We can't talk. Like, obviously I understand why, because it's like too hard to move forward or confusing, blah, blah, blah. But I really felt what she was saying. She was just sort of like, I want to know what's going on with you. / I'm still in love with you. That's the thing. If you want to know, you're still interested. So that's kind of the problem. But
yeah,
I thought that was actually a pretty mature conversation. He was pretty honest. He was just sort of like, you didn't consider moving to Chicago. And that's that.
I thought Joe, I haven't liked Joe. I thought that guy
hit the lotto. Nor have I.
Yeah, he's hit the lotto. He said 7 words on one episode and all of a sudden he's got a whole career. I mean, Piper and Brendan must be
Preach,
jealous.
Brother.
Right? So I in this moment, I thought he was pretty direct and he gave his reasons. But then it was interesting that Kendall was like, well, just because we move, you know, that's the only reason we broke up. And it's like, that's kind of a, you know, not really the truth either. Like, you guys broke up because you guys were willing to give this up in exchange for the move. So, you know, it's like, now that you're back, like, are you willing to move now? Because this was a no before. Is it a no it again? And then she's like, but he said you would never move for a man. And it's like, it makes it into this like personal thing. And you go, okay, well, maybe he didn't like that as a quality, you know?
Yeah, particularly because that's, to me, the kind of thing that you say before you meet someone you really care about. And like, part of a relationship is compromise. And so sometimes you thought you would never do something, but you do. And I don't think you should just like sacrifice your career for a man or a woman or whatever. But like, there also are reasons to move with someone. It's not just necessarily for them, but with them, if you guys really care about each other. I also thought that like, I was expecting him to be like, you don't want to move away from your family. I don't want to move away from mine. I wasn't expecting it to be like this like act of principle that was decided like irrespective to who she was dating. Like, I think that's actually kind of like, I think that's the kind of thing that you say, like, after you take a couple gender studies classes in college and you're like 24 and you're just like, I will never do that. But then you meet someone, it changes your perspective. And I think the takeaway there then is that she didn't feel strongly enough for him to change her perspective.
It was very telling. I totally agree with you. That was exactly the thought in my mind. Totally. 100%.
Because there's nothing wrong with investing in a relationship if you really believe in it. I mean, you know, move. And then if it doesn't work out, move back.
You're not toppling the patriarchy with your marriage. You know, it's a weird place to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And it just weird. It just was weird that she came back and then she stayed. And then they were like sitting next to each other. That was another thing I was confused about the timing. I was like, when did the Joe fight happen? When did the Joe and Serena conversation happen versus like when Piper came in? Like there just was a lot happening and they just, you know, they smartly, I think it was actually pretty smart, good editing, but they basically like cleaved the episode in two. So like the first half was Kendall and the second half was Brendan, and that was smart, but like the Brendan stuff just blew everything else out of the water, and so I kind of like forgot to think about that. But then on my like various rewatches I was like, wait, they're still wearing the same thing.
Well, there's a reason we came out so hot being like, we gotta talk about it. Like they knew what to end this episode with.
Yeah totally. I mean, and then next week, who knows? I mean, or tomorrow, it's crazy. I don't know how they'll have a more electric episode than this. This was so crazy.
I fully enjoyed it. I think this, like, to me, I kept thinking like they should kick off couples that are together. Like if a couple's together,
Jacoby,
like,
and I've been
go.
Saying this for years. When you couple up, you have to leave. If you, it's like, it's almost like, you know, coupling up to get a rose is like almost hurts the show. Like once you couple up, you should have to leave. If you're subject to breaking up, great, stay. Like the Kennys of the world, the Chris C's of the world, we'd love to have you. But couples, just go.
Well, that would be an interesting, maybe this is the what we add to the show. Will you accept this rose? And then they accept it. And then they have to answer, would you, individually, they write down on a piece of paper, would you accept another date if someone new showed up? And if they both say no, then they both go home.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so Brendan, and everyone's like, Brendan and Piper, what are you still doing here? You have to leave.
Yeah. So like, it'd be like a tribal council. Like it would be Rose, then would you date someone else that showed up? No. Goodbye. Here's your suitcase. There's your,
you're see ya.
Black SUV.
I just don't know what happens to Brendan and Piper like in Bachelor Nation going forward. Like how do the fans view them? Because I don't feel as strongly about Piper as you do. I think that she by the end looked bad because that Instagram conversation was so brazen and stupid. But I just thought she seemed like someone who thought she had a plan with her boyfriend and she was just being more open. But it was kind of jarring to hear her be like, Brendan is my boyfriend. I'm here to date my boyfriend. Like that was kind of crazy.
Yeah. I mean, letting your boyfriend go on a show and like, I guess you would trust your boyfriend to not do too much. I mean, that's why he kissed her like in that, him and Natasha's kiss was like kissing your cousin. Like that wasn't like a kiss. And then Natasha was like, we got a kiss. And you're like, I don't know about that one. You know?
And he kept saying, we haven't been, it's not intimate. Like we weren't intimate. And it's like, okay, we get it, Brendan. You didn't have sex. Thank you for making it clear. But again, like that's sort of like,
hate you.
Everyone is still like, there's so much emphasis on like what physicality didn't happen. It's interesting. I find it fascinating because so often like you don't get that kind of insight, but it is true. Like everyone thinks about that.
I think Piper's going to be fine because Piper will have a lot of followers after this because for one simple fact, women follow women for their style. Like if they like their style, if they like their personality, like I don't follow a lot of dude accounts for their style. Like I'm not following Brendan to learn how to wear a mock turtleneck. Like that's not like going to happen for me. And people will do that for Piper.
It's true. Also, she has beautiful skin and I know she does a lot of skincare stuff on her Instagram, and she just like such a pretty natural makeup. I really liked her look. She's stunning.
Gorgeous. She's stunning. Yeah.
She's like, I think one of the prettiest people like to ever be on the show, to be honest.
Wow. I mean, this is a good looking beach. I gotta say,
absolutely.
I am obsessed. Like Mari, I can't take my eyes off her.
She's stunning. Yeah. She's stunning.
Like I'm sitting there the whole time just being like, having trouble watching the show, but everyone in this season is like very hot.
We know your type, Mari. I was surprised she went home so early because she was so pretty. I was like, gotta keep Mario around for longer, just if you're Matt. Like, just keep her because she's pretty to look at. And there's nothing wrong with that. Plus, I like Mario. I actually really like almost everyone except for, I don't dislike Joe for who he is. I just like, in principle, I don't like yeah. Joe. So
I don't like Joe for what he's become.
And for what he represents. So maybe yeah, I am more like Kendall.
That's a better...
That's my problem with him. And I don't like Demi. So, kind of similar, but I agree. When we get authentic Demi, it's actually entertaining. But I just hate... She just sort of like is kind of sad. I have to say, like, her last-ditch effort to have sex with Kenny was just sad. It made me sad for her and the whole situation.
Well, we don't like Demi for what she's been rewarded for. And that's other people being disgusting and rewarding her for, you know, like, I mean... Kenny has sex with Demi because Demi's putting it out there and that's what she gets attention for. And then she does that with her jokes. Like, you know, when she's reading her jokes, like, you know, like the bear with the string that you pull, you go, okay, enough. But then when she's real and cool, you go, I understand why people like her.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And we just don't get that a lot. Cause when she talks, we mostly get Demi when she's talking straight into the camera and then she's like not being herself. That was another interesting thing that Piper said when she was like, I'm not getting the real Brendan. And then by the end of that conversation, she said that she had, and it's like, well, what changed? Can we please fucking see that? Like,
yeah,
so many questions about Brendan. Insane. I'm so disappointed. I expected more.
I didn't. But I also didn't, I didn't expect more, but I didn't expect him to sound like such an asshole. And that's why
I should have known. He's so hot. He's so hot, right? We should have known.
He is a gorgeous man. That is true.
He's beautiful. Universally beautiful. Jared, thank you so much for joining me to discuss this. It's just been an absolute delight. Where can we find you?
Always a pleasure to hang with you, Juliet. It is at Jared Fried on Instagram, and I got 7,000 podcasts that's just what go my to his voice Instagram. Stinks right you'll, now. Yeah, at Jared Fried. I live stream at the, you know, whatever. But this has been a blast. I what an episode to be able to, I feel honored to talk about this episode with you.
I'm so happy. And, you know, it worked out well. I didn't even know how explosive it would be when I asked you. So great stuff.
Good stuff.
Thanks so much, Jared. Talk to you soon.